step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 526. I'm Lisa Sheps, and I am here flying solo. Nicole Shiro is off doing other, more important things. You're listening to me on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. This show streams live, as always, at KOOP.org. Remember, if it's theater and it is on offstage and on the air, you better stay right where you are.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
It is Wednesday, July 24th, 2019. On the show today, we have Pedamonte Productions and their show, El Sistema Solar. Also, later on, we're going to talk about Summerstock Austin and all the wonderful work that they are doing this year in 2019. And, of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Mother Russia, and Chicago again. Stick with us.
Waiting for him on needles and pins, and then the world is gonna be mine.
This evening, about a quarter to one, which is what time it is right now. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is Lisa Sheps. It is Offstage and On the Air. It is Wednesday. I am back in town from a lovely trip to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Let me tell you something. In Milwaukee, Wisconsin, it was 60 degrees in the morning. It was really wonderful. But then again, I was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. But I like Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So as I mentioned on the air earlier, Nicole is not with us today. And I know that she is driving around in her car right now, listening to us, cheering us on and making sure that we have a good show, even though I am all alone and lonely. Except I'm not really all alone. I want to thank Kim Simpson again for another wonderful show. He had like 30 people here in the studio playing Balalanka music, and it was so much fun. Talk about theater. Balalanka music. Yeah. So it took me back to Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 18, whatever year it was. I think it's 29. Let's introduce the folks that are here with us in the studio today. We have Alejandro Piedemonte. Hello, Alejandro.
Hi, Lisa. How are you? Thank you.
Any better than I'd be twins. We have Claudia Chavez.
Hola, ¿qué tal?
Muy bien, gracias. ¿Y usted? ¿Y tú? So that's the extent of my Spanish. Other than, hola, me llamo María. ¿Dónde está la biblioteca? You can say that. Okay. Hopefully, I'm going to have everybody... God, we'll see if I'm right. Maddie?
That's
Maddie Reese. Hi, Maddie.
Hi.
We have Holden Fox.
Hello.
We have Sinead Warren.
Hi.
We have Katrina Long.
Hi there.
And we have Ronan Malomo.
Hi, Lisa.
All right, the very, very first time. I've gotten everybody's name right the first time. Let's hear it for me.
Yay! Yay!
That's what I want to hear. So we have a really great show here today. We've had a relatively calm week in the world of theater. And we're going to go through some things. And if you guys have anything you guys want to talk about theater anywhere, stream it on in. Stream it on in. I don't even know what I meant when I said that. So let's start with the closings we have. Beautiful is going to be closing. Has anybody seen Beautiful? Anybody? Yeah. Let me give you all a hint. This is nodding does not work on the radio.
I have not seen Beautiful.
There you go. Thank you. Somebody is playing by the rules. Nobody's seen Beautiful?
No.
Really? It came here to Austin. What?
I did get the chance to see it.
You did? What'd you think of it?
I loved it.
Yeah. Did you see it here in Austin?
I saw it in New York.
You saw it in New York. Mm-hmm. Did you see Jesse Mueller in it? Do you remember who you saw?
I didn't. I think Stephanie J. Block.
Ah, we love Stephanie J. Block, even though I've been very unkind to her lately. Mm-hmm. Well, if you listen to the show, which of course you guys do, you know that I did not think she did that great of a job in the Cher show. But I love her. Love her. She was amazing in falsettos. I did not know she did that. Anyway, it's closing. It grossed nearly $250 million, which is almost my annual salary. Not quite. It's going to close in October of this year, which is, everybody knows, my birth month, because we have a big celebration. Guess how many shows they will have done in their, 2014, so 5 years of running.
That's like 3,000.
You're so close. Anybody else want to take a guess?
3,001.
3,001? Anybody else?
Good guess.
No, okay. All of you would have been wrong because you were all over. Oh. It was 2,418 plus 60 previews.
That's fantastic.
So it's a wonderful show. If folks ever get a chance to see it, it's a jukebox musical. And of course, some of us have opinions about jukebox musicals, but it's a really fun one. This show has had 4 national tours. It's about to embark on a 5th national tour. It has a 6th one already on the book. So you know that they're doing well. There's also going to be, surprise, a film adaptation with Tom Hanks. And I don't know, these are Gary Getzman and Paul Blake.
Tom Hanks is playing Carol King.
He is.
That's beautiful.
He may be producing it. Okay. These are just names involved. I would like to see that. I think he'd probably do a very, very good job. So that's actually kind of sad. Hopefully it could have run longer. But it had a myriad of stars, including Carol King herself, who came on. I don't know if y'all remember. She did not see the show for a long, long time. And then she came out and surprised Jesse Mueller at the end. And if you get a chance, because it actually did bring tears to my eyes, so this was in 2014, that little scene, it was at the closing number. It's just amazing, and it's all over the YouTube, so you can see it. Yep. Has anybody heard of Anton Chekhov?
Oh yes.
Has anybody heard of Chekhov's gun?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So we. Now I don't even remember the reference I was going to do. I'm working on a production, and we had Chekhov something. There was something that showed up in our show, and we decided that it had to be found. It had to do whatever it was. So we have Chekhov's fill in your blank here. So that was something that really. Anyway, there's a show that just opened off Broadway so off Broadway. It's commissioned by the Williamstown Theater Festival. It is at the MCC Theater Space in Hell's Kitchen. Called, I love the title of it. It's called Moscow, 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 Moscow.
Oh. Is that 6 Moscows?
It is 6 Moscows. Wow. It is 6 Moscows. And it is the Three Sisters. It's a adaptation of the Three Sisters called Moscow, Moscow, blah, 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 blah. And I should have, it's actually really apropos that we're talking about this today because of the Balalaika music that was here earlier today. And 3 of those people were actual bona fide Russian-speaking Russians.
Is it like a sequel?
In the microphone.
Is it like a sequel? Or
no,
it,
there's like, a, there are a million adaptations of Three Sisters.
Okay.
And this is just another one. It's got a bend to it. It is more modern. Let me read this one. Let me see if I can find this. Here it is. She thought the playwright, Pfeiffer, Ms. Pfeiffer, but I'm going to give you her first name too if I can get it. Haley Pfeiffer wrote this, and she thought it would be fun and, quote, it would be fun and funny to translate Chekhov into millennial speak. Mm. So there are a lot of, let's see if I underline these so I can find them, but there are a lot of little millennial things like totes. I don't know enough millennial things to really have a good system of it. But I was actually hoping that Nicole would be here because Masha, so speaking of
Natasha
Pierre, the great. So this is all based on the character set is the same character set. So Masha is wearing Playbill pajamas. And I don't know if anybody knows the Playbill website, and especially around Christmas time, they have these things. And I bought those Playbill pajamas as a gift for Nicole, hoping that she would buy me a pair too, but she didn't.
villainous.
Well, I know. Wasn't it wrong? Here it is. So when her brother Audrey asks the social climbing neighbor Natasha to marry him, she answers with a snark and upbeat, obvi.
Oh,
do y'all know what that means, Alejandro? And
millennials?
Please translate.
Translate it for them. I know what it means because I'm a millennial.
Obvi equals, say it with me, obviously.
See, Obvi. Totes cool.
Like in Spanish.
Like in Spanish. Get right up on that microphone when you speak,
It is the
please.
Same in Spanish. When you want to say obvio, you say obvi.
Obvi. Okay. Muy bien. So this review basically said it's really great that they did this adaptation, although they're not quite sure why. They didn't really add anything to the canon. So I don't know. It's not anything I'm going to see. It is, as I said, written by Haley Pfeiffer. It's directed by Trip Cullman. It stars Stephen Boyer, Tavi Gevinson, Sass Goldberg, Rebecca Henderson, Greg Hildreth, Matthew Jeffers, Gene Jones, Alfredo Narciso, Chris Perfetti, Ryan Spann, and Ray Anthony Thomas. It also has, although they don't really explain it other than to say that one person is OBS, a man in a dress, but they're saying they do non-traditional casting. So really don't know what that means. And they're also saying it's done with upspeak, so they must be talking about the way they talk.
Oh yeah,
with
very
upspeak.
Millennial.
Yeah, very millennial.
Well, I think that there's
That's also Valley Girl, which is from the fair. 90s.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of benefit to adaptations like that. I think that there's so many productions that they just try and take the original text and add sort of a layer of modernity to it, and add sort of like costumes and set, making it modern, but not actually changing language. And I think that there's a real value to what they're doing there. Like a lot of the Fixing Henry, all those.
Oh yeah, well that's you're talking about the Rude Mechanicals, the Rude Mechs here, doing the whole Fixing Henry series, which we just had a reading. They just did a reading at Ground Floor Theater. Did you see it?
Yeah,
the reading
I was
of
there.
Henry VIII.
It was really wonderful.
Yeah, it was fun.
Bringing up that whole aspect of like creating that experience of what it would be like to actually be there in that time, making sure the references and the language are actually up to date so people are experiencing those rather than trying to sort of filter them through our own modern senses. I think if it's done well, it's a really, really cool thing, although it certainly takes a little.
There's absolutely room for that, although I think that this reviewer is saying it wasn't done well. I believe, if I interpret it right, the reviewer wasn't saying we shouldn't do modern adaptations of the classics, but that this one might not have hit the mark.
Gotcha.
Or didn't add anything that wasn't already there. But I don't know. We did. Now, going from a high note like that to a little bit of a not a low note, but we did have a loss in the theater community. Hugh Southern, many people might not know him, but he was the executive director of the Theater Development Fund, TDF, which is in New York City, which is a nonprofit back in the 60s when it started to try to get people to go see theater, which is something I think we need here in Austin, but that's for another radio show. He created that, but under his tenure, they started the TKTS booth. Anybody not know what the TKTS booth is? Everybody knows what it is? Yeah.
No.
You don't. Thank you. I was hoping somebody didn't. So the TKTS booth is in New York City. It's in Times Square. It used to be a trailer, which was donated by the city. And it is where they convinced these theater producers that are not not-for-profit. They are for-profit entities. They convinced them that a discount seat was better than an empty seat. And as an experiment, these producers of Broadway houses gave TDF a certain amount of tickets to sell at 50% off in the 60s. And it was wildly popular. When I lived in New York in the 70s and 80s, I think it was still a trailer, although I doubt it was the original trailer they had in the 60s, but it was still a trailer at the same place on 49th Street in Little Square at the very north end of Times Square. Wildly popular. You had to stand it. You'd get in line at 3 o'clock, and they would open the tickets at around 6 o'clock, but you had been standing there for 3 hours when you were porn starving. And you got to see a show for $10, which was half price of the top ticket price of $20 at the time. little different now. But every time I go to New York, I go to TKTS at least once and purchase tickets. And now they have a thing that has anybody gone to the ticket booth recently? Or in the past few years?
Past few years.
Yeah. So they have a thing where if you're there, and this is set up for tourists, if you go on Friday and you stand in line, you don't have to stand in line the next time you come. You can get in the front, which is pretty cool. Yeah, they don't advertise it, but you can do it.
Like
if you have your
fast pass,
if you have your little stubs, and it is a wild time. It's now a glass building underneath some big red glass steps in Times Square, and it is always crowded, and it has always got people hawking tickets to this show or that show. Anyway, he created that, Hugh Southern. He passed away. He was also the chairman of the National Endowment of the Arts. Now, I don't think you guys will remember this, but y'all might remember in the 80s when the NEA came under fire because of the Mapplethorpe exhibit. Do y'all remember that? Is it John Mapplethorpe? I can't remember his name. Mapplethorpe. He was a National Endowment. He was an artist. He was given money by the National Endowment of Arts, and he had some what many people found very offensive art. And it was really big. It was national news, and they were trying to say that government money should not be paying for this, and I'm doing air quotes, filth that this guy was doing. And art is subjective, and we all have different ideas. He was the executive director at the time, and he's known for being – he took a very – politic approach to it, and was able to say, yeah, it's not for everybody, but part of National Endowment of the Arts is supporting artists without censoring their work. And he was successful in going through there. And the Metropolitan Opera saw him and said, hey, we're going to bring you on as general manager. And he came on as general manager there. Didn't like that. He left after 8 months. And he's been doing other work in different endowments and in nonprofit theater work. Until he passed away at age 87. So may he rest in peace. Yep. Thank you. Yeah, I did all that by memory. Here's a picture of the TKTS booth now, although it's not a very good picture. Here, let me show it to the audience first. I'll show it to everybody else. There are, by the way, two satellite TKTS booths, one at South Street Seaport and one up in Lincoln Center. South Street Seaport's been open for a while. I don't know how long Lincoln Center's been open. Anybody like the movie Moulin Rouge? Anybody waiting for the Broadway show?
Yeah. Absolutely.
For instance, if Nicole were here, she'd be very vocal right now because she did not like that movie.
No?
I loved it. Oh, and you didn't like it either? So tell us why you didn't like it.
No, I didn't like it at all.
What did you just not like the beauty of it? Are you not a fan of beauty?
I love beauty. I think it wasn't enough to cover for the other things I didn't like about it. But stage show would totally change the game on that.
Right. So they did. So what I found interesting, it's opening tomorrow night, I believe. I could be wrong about that. Wow. Am I right?
They are.
Yeah. They added 70 songs to it. And there's an article in the New York Times that came out a few days ago talking about what was going on. When they did the movie, the Rolling Stones would not give them the rights. The new person, I don't know how, I find his name here somewhere, was able to secure the rights for the Rolling Stones. And like the Duke, Rita Satine, with Sympathy for the Devil right now. There's some 165 songs in this show. And if you think about what it... Oh, sorry. 70 songs credited by 161 writers. If you think what it takes to get the rights for music, so you have a piece of music and you have to find the writers. If there's multiple writers, you have to find each writer. And you don't have to credit the artist that sang it originally unless they were the writer, which oftentimes they are. So somebody had to go through and secure the rights, and these are specific rights, and I forgot the name of them, rolling rights or human rights, I don't know, some kind of rights, civil rights. There's a certain kind of rights to be on a Broadway show. I know it's not, because I used to get rights for one-time usage, and that was... you know, $1,000 or so for one time, for once. So can you imagine what these rights cost and the amount of work that they had to get? They had to hire a whole team to go and secure these rights. And then when you have a cast album, which they've already said they're going to do, that's yet a whole nother mishigas of rights that they have to go through. But it seems pretty amazing. Wow. Yeah. 70 songs.
I am so excited about that show.
I am too. Here's a picture of it. The show, by the way, has a book by John Logan. It's directed by Alex Timbers. And it's got a great cast, if I can remember. Do you remember who's doing it?
Yeah. There's they've got Robin Herter, Paloma Garcia Lee. My faves.
Those are my two favorites. But who's playing Oh, you, I was going to say Ewan McGregor. That would be the movie. Oh, I can't find it. Anyway, so it's, I'm looking forward to it. All right. So much for that.
Can I see that picture?
Yeah. Here you go. So other things. So is anybody, so great performances on PBS oftentimes has been showing, well-produced musicals, for free. So we all know, do y'all know about Broadway HD?
Yes.
Yeah. So Broadway HD is a subscription service where they go out and they film Broadway shows and other things in a quality ways, which is different from, so the Lincoln Center Library archives every Broadway show, but it's really archival. It's not broadcast. It's made to just be an archive, which is why they call it archival, Claudia.
It's like a documentary in a form.
Yeah, well, it's as if I held a camera up right. And just so that I can have an archive of what I did, yeah. Etc. But these are produced multi-camera shots, multiple takes, nice editing. And this year, beginning in November, we have The King and I, the Kelly O'Hara-led King and I. We have The West End Kinky Boots. Those are the newly announced ones, but we'd also have, I think it starts with 42nd Street, which is why I played 42nd Street. And it has the Much Ado About Nothing that was in the park, I think last year?
Last summer? That's so exciting.
Yeah, I know. That one was directed by Kenny Leon and had Danielle Brooks in it. And then, what am I missing? 42nd Street, King and I... Kinky Boots. I think I said them all. That's the four of them. That starts in November every week. So set your DVRs.
Is this a subscription service or is this?
No, this is PBS.
It's on PBS.
It's on PBS. So I'll wait while you set your DVR.
I'm going right now.
Okay, great. So I don't know if anybody saw here at Zach. There was a production of the Broadway show All the Way. About Lyndon B. Johnson, who was a president of ours.
Yeah.
from Texas. And now also at the at Zach Theater, they did The Great Society, which picks up at the time period that All the Way left off, which was right, I believe, right at the assassination or shortly after the assassination of John F. Kennedy, up through the signing of the Civil Rights Act. And here was, so you have Stokely B. Carmichael as characters, you have Herbert Hoover, you have all those people that were in politics of the day. This is written by Robert Schenken, who's written a lot of other political things. He also had the, just recently, they had the Mueller Report. Which, speaking of theater, tangentially, has anybody been listening to the Mueller trials that have been going on?
Yes.
That are happening right even as we do this?
Yes, I just did this morning and on the way over here.
I have as well. So what do you think? Is it theater worth watching?
It's certainly theater.
It is theater. He's not as articulate as I would have wanted him to be.
No, I'm a little disappointed in that,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, but he's getting grilled. Anyway, so... Robert Schenken did a dramatization of the Mueller report that was done as a staged reading. Anyway, so The Great Society, which was done here and has gone through a lot of rewrites because based on what I saw at the Zach, it needed a lot of rewrites.
Yeah, it did.
Did you see it?
I saw it.
Yeah, it had lots. We'll talk. I had lots of issues with it and I wasn't a fan of that production. But I believe... I think it's played a whole zillion different places. It opened in, I thought it played here first, but I was so wrong. As a matter of fact, when they went through the list of places it played, it didn't even mention Austin. Yeah. It did mention Houston and Dallas Theater, the Alley Theater and Dallas Theater Center, but not Austin. Oslo Repertory Theater in Sarasota, Florida. And it started at Oregon Shakespeare Festival in 2014, then Seattle Rep, and then it went through all these other incantations. So it's opening on Broadway. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I like I like presidential dramas, generally speaking. And right or wrong, however you think of Johnson and how he behaved, in terms of our current society and the current norms that would never go over these days. He was a very interesting character. Okay, nobody disagrees with that. Last thing I think I'm going to talk about. Oh, I got to talk about these two things, and then we'll stop. We'll really not talk about it. Martha Plimpton left the Steppenwolf Theater Company, which Steppenwolf Theater Company is a company that's been around. Everybody knows Steppenwolf in Chicago. Oh, yeah. They have company members, and there's no minimum participation requirement, so you can become a member and stay a member and never go back. Martha Plimpton, there's only been three people in that 60 years or so, however long it's been, that have actually left the company. 1998, do the math. She left the company due to... there was not a lot of love lost between her and the current management. I'll just say that. There'll be a link to the article in the show notes. And finally, by a show of hands, which admittedly does not work on the radio, who likes It's a Wonderful Life? No? Okay, you guys are all wrong. Anyway, Paul McCartney has secretly been... Cerise going, yes. I'm excited. Secretly been writing a musical. Paul McCartney of the Beatles. He's already written 14 songs, evidently. So it should be pretty
That's
cool.
Interesting.
I know. And also, Jonathan Groff is going to be doing Little Shop. These are the things we didn't talk about. Britney Spears' musical, Once Upon a Once More Time, was delayed. And that's it.
Oh, no.
I know. So we're going to take a little break. As I said, that first song was from 42nd Street, which is part of the series at Masterpiece, whatever the show is. And then the other one is The King and I, and this is a Puzzlement reprise from the Kelly O'Hara-led King and I. I wanted to do a Puzzlement, but it wouldn't accept the file. So the Puzzlement was done by Ken Watanabe, who played the King in that episode, but this is played by his son. I can't remember his name, so... Played by not Ken Watanabe. We'll be right back.
There are times I almost think they are not sure.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps. We've been having a great conversation with great people, which I'm going to reintroduce later. But right now, I'm going to reintroduce Alejandro Piedemonte. Hola. Oh, wait, you know what? I'm going to turn your microphone on. Say that again.
I said hola.
Hola, ¿qué tal? And Claudia Chavez.
Hi, how are you?
I'm groovy. So Piedemonte Productions is producing this show, El Sistema Solar. I should say that it's written by, and let me see if I can pronounce this name, Mariana de Ataus.
Mariana de Altaus.
Altaus, never would have come. So is she Brazilian? Is that Portuguese?
No.
Sounds Portuguese.
No, the last name is actually German, but she's Peruvian.
Ah,
yeah.
Because that's where you're Peruvian, are
yes,
you?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I know. Okay, so tell us about the show, El Sistema Solar.
The show, El Sistema Solar, it was a very risky decision, but it had to be made because we have been performing comedies throughout the last few years. Mm-hmm. And we felt like we do theater in Spanish for whoever doesn't know us. And we perform fully in Spanish with English supertitles.
So for those people that don't know, what do you mean when you say supertitles?
Like when you go to the opera and you see, like when you see movies and you see subtitles, mm-hmm. you know, in a different language, we supertitle the play in English just so we can, you know, open to the audience.
So as opposed to subtitles, supertitles are typically
projected on the top of a screen behind.
Thank you. Now I understand.
Yeah, okay. So, we decided that we wanted to bring something with like more content. We call it in Spanish. I don't know if this would sound right, but it's like an author, you know, play. It's like es una obra de autor, una obra de contenido. I'm not sure how it would translate.
I kind of got that.
Yeah.
But we do have Spanish speaking listeners, so.
Okay.
And they'll feel special.
Awesome. So we just wanted to step away from comedy for a little bit, you know,
so and this
just
is
show
a, drama.
A different type of
this
theater.
Is a drama.
Yes, it
okay.
is a drama.
Awesome. I have to take a quick little side trip here. Claudia, could you choose, please, for me a number between 2 and 54?
49.
Okay, 49. Let's see what 49 is.
This is Morgan River Reporter, New York Bureau, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air, KOOP Hornsby, Austin.
Ah, we haven't had Morgan in a long time. Thank you for that. That is Morgan, our roving reporter, who is now a lovely young woman and doesn't sound like that at all. So it's the thing with young kids. So so you said you wanted to steer away from comedy. Was there anything else specific about this show, which is why you're doing it at this point in your season?
Yes and no. Performing on a stage like the Ground Floor Theater space, uh-huh. it was also sort of like a challenge because we wanted to, you know, the whole blocking and the way that we have built the staging of the play, you know, it's totally different to a traditional theater. We originally wanted to have like a four-sided audience, and then it was reduced to three, and then after we talked to Lisa, it was reduced to two-sided.
Yeah, well, stick around. Ground Floor Theater is going to get more, is it going to be a little bit better to change things around? Right now, it's very difficult to do that. It'll get there. We just need money.
But I mean, in general, I just we just thought that it would be a great story to tell. It's a brand new cast, and I'll let Claudia talk about.
Well, before you talk about the cast, tell us, is there a little bit about the plot? Can you tell us what it's about?
Yes, El Sistema Solar, the solar system, basically. It talks about the family, the Del Solar family, basically.
Their name is Del Solar?
Del Solar is their last name, yes.
Okay.
And they gather for Christmas Eve, and it's a very dysfunctional family. It's actually a daughter, a son, a grandson, the father or the grandfather, and the girlfriend of the grandfather, who happens to be the ex-girlfriend for the son. So they just meet for Christmas Eve, and they just start talking about, you know, different topics that start, you know, firing up, you know, different emotions and things. Things kind of like don't get resolved, and this is something very, very special that I like about this story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything that happens throughout the play, it's inconclusive. It just is left open for the audience to pretty much figure out. It's just like life itself, you know, the way it is.
So this is the kind of piece that you leave with a lot of things to think about versus just a light piece of entertainment.
Yeah. For sure, yes.
So Claudia, first of all, we didn't say anything. Alejandro is not only the creative, the artistic director of Pedamonte Productions, but you also directed this piece, correct?
I am, yes, ma'am.
Cool. And Claudia, you've been working with Alejandro for a long time.
A very long time.
And you are stage managing and producing this piece.
Yes.
So tell us about the cast and some of the other players involved in the piece.
So, we do community theater. We're not a nonprofit, so we are an independent company. So that's why we kind of do this kind of once a year, because it's really about community pulling together. It's a community of three producers making it happen with a lot of volunteers, a lot of giving up your evenings and come and help us.
Right.
That includes recruiting new talent. Everyone that we have right now, five actors, they're brand new to us. We've never worked with them, which
wonderful.
Has been...
Wonderful. That's actually good, I would assume.
Yeah. We have one young talent. We have a 13-year-old on stage.
Oh, lovely.
So that's really fun. And he's amazing. He's great. I mean, he's definitely a treat to have.
Great experiences with this. Like, I've personally been doing theaters since 2002 in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular case, but it's happened before with other actors, older actors, but in this particular case, Ignacio, who is playing the grandson, it's his first time that he performs in theater. And on our second night, he was actually seen by, you know, a different company that is producing this other play for kids. And he's already been chosen to be performing with this other
wonderful.
Company. So, you know, opening up opportunities for everybody is great.
Wonderful. Now, you guys have already opened. You played your first week.
Yes.
How's it been going? Is the play growing? Are the actors melding? Is everything just... I'm assuming you're proud of the work, but is it just continuing to grow, and does it give you joy to watch your people up there working?
It's growing, definitely. It wasn't an easy task because they are new, not just new actors for us, but they're also new performers.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a lot of work, but I am very, very proud of the work, and I can't stop like sitting there and watching the play. It's just amazing. And honestly, I have to say the ground floor theater, the technical aspect of the play has just come together with the story, you know, and it's just, it's great. Yeah. I think people should come and see it.
Wonderful. So how long, when do you close?
We close on the 2nd of August.
Friday.
2nd.
Great. And you have a show tonight, correct?
We do.
Awesome. And where can folks go to get more information? Is it the best way to do it is just search Facebook? And
yeah,
that would get
Facebook,
you to the ticket site?
Or Eventbrite and do Solar System or okay. Do El Sistema Solar.
Great. Well, wonderful to have you guys on our show.
Thank you for
having us. And I hope one or both of you can stick around backstage and we can learn a bit more about you. But if not, we'll see you next time.
Awesome.
And best of luck with the rest of the run.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you for having us.
Awesome. That was Alejandro Pedamonte and Claudia Chavez with Pedamonte's production of El Sistema Solar by Mariana de Altaus. I was going to say it right. It plays through August 2nd at Ground Floor Theater. For more information, search Facebook for El Sistema Solar event. And we will be right back. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Shipps. We just had a lovely conversation with Alejandro Pedamonte and Claudia Chavez with a production of El Sistema Solar. And we're going to take a little second to talk about some local stuff or a local stuff. Since I'm here by myself, you're not going to get a whole bunch. But I did want to, I don't think we've talked about it on the show. We may have, but I'm going to do it again. Annie is playing over at TexArts in Lakeway. Does everybody love Annie?
Love Annie.
Such a fun story. Love Annie. The double cast the role of Annie with Danielle. Oh my God, Guilbot, I don't know if that's right, and Luciana Mariani as Annie. But what I think is, what I love is that Robert Ferris of the Austin Chronicle is playing Daddy Warbucks. And you know, it's you have a bald head, you get cast as Daddy Warbucks. That's what it comes to. Anyway, it is open now, it plays through August 4th. For more information, text-arts.org. It's out in Lakeway. It's a lovely little theater. Has anybody ever been out there?
I worked there last summer.
You did? What show did you do?
I was in Greece.
You were in Greece. What role?
I was Marty.
Marty. I don't know which one that is, but I'm just going to say. I'm not a Greaseaholic. I have never seen the movie all the way through.
People, really?
Yeah.
Honestly?
I saw Greece when it opened on Broadway, and I haven't seen it since. So I apologize. Let's do a little bit of Today in Theater History, shall we? Okay, we always learn a little bit here on Offstage and On the Air. Back in 1968... a woman was born, or a child was born in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Anybody have any idea who I'm talking about yet?
Maybe.
Female identified person. She was in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. She played Sally.
Kristen Chenoweth.
I didn't think y'all would get that one so fast. I should have started in The Apple Tree or Promises. she was also in a Wicked. I saw Wicked in San Francisco before it came to New York, and Kristen Chenoweth had just broken her arm. So obviously I saw it with the original cast, but they had so much fun with her broken arm. She was in a cast doing Glinda, so that was fun. I did not know about Wicked at the time, but I was very familiar with the books, and I was in San Francisco and I was walking past the theater like this. If the camera on, you'd see me, and I saw the marquee and it said Wicked. I said, I wonder if that's my Wicked, and indeed it was. And I bought a ticket and I went to see it. It was amazing. 1983, Angela Lansbury comes back to Broadway in a revival of the musical that she won a Tony Award in 1966 for, which is a musical called Mame. And so she came back as a revival in 1983. Also the original Agnes Gooch was Jane Connell, who I don't know, but she was original. She also came back to reprieve their... parts. Reprise, not reprieve. That's a whole different thing. I say reprise. Some people say reprise. I don't know what's right. But I say reprieve. Reprise. In 1996, has anybody... Okay. Who has been in The Fantastics? A production of The Fantastics? Nobody?
No one.
Seriously. All right, I'm going to try my other one. Our Town?
So many.
Nobody. No. Oh, yeah. So back in the day, those were the things that everybody did. I personally have done three productions of the Fantastics in different things. Once, and I'm sorry they're gone, but once in Spanish, Los Fantásticos. But it, hold on, it celebrated, I got to find my notes here. It celebrated its 15,000th performance. Have y'all seen it? Do you know the show?
I read the play. Mm-hmm.
Fantastics?
The Fantastics.
Yeah. I have not seen it.
It is a musical.
I saw Andrew Cannata do it several years ago.
Oh, yeah. Oh, at the JCC.
Yeah.
Yep, I saw that. That was a Jewish rep. Adam Roberts was the artistic director at the time. And that was a fun thing. I've always wanted to play the old actor. I would have so much fun doing that. So anybody that's doing the Fantastics out there, the old actor. In 2001, talking about Chekhov, there was a Mike Nichols production of The Seagull, which, by the way, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a lot of seagulls. Don't get it. Just saying. But listen to this cast. Meryl Streep and Kevin Kline. Pretty amazing. First of all, well, we can talk Big Little Lies. Anybody?
No spoilers, please.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it, but have you seen any of them this season?
No.
I will say, and it's not a spoiler, Meryl Streep is amazing. Okay, so also Marcia Gay Harden, Natalie Portman, Christopher Walken, Philip Seymour Hoffman, John Goodman, Deborah Monk, Steven Spinella, and Larry Pine. Amazing cast.
Wow.
It was in 2001, so we'll have to use our Wayback Machine to get there. Also in 2003, I didn't realize, I thought it was earlier than this, the Deaf West production of Big River. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Either with Deaf West or that production of Big River? So yeah. Deaf West is a company out of Los Angeles. They brought Spring Awakening to Broadway in 2016. And they do deaf accessible versions of shows. And they did one of Big River. The only thing I saw was the Tony performance of Big River. It was amazing. They got a Tony nomination for it. Anyway, that was in 2003. If you get a chance to go see any of those videos from Big River or Spring Awakening, it's really amazing. By the way, the woman that played Vandella in Spring Awakening in the Deaf West production 2016 lives in Austin. Her name is Sandra Mae Frank, and she's amazing. She was in our production of Fun Home. And just an amazing actress. 2016, the movie Shuffle Along or The Making of the Musical Sensation of 1921 and all that followed, the one with Audra McDonald, etc. Oh, going to talk about Audra McDonald real quick in a second. It ended its run after 38 previews and 100 regular performances. So that was pretty amazing. And then 2016, this is the anniversary of the death of Marnie Nixon. Who knows who Marnie Nixon was?
I have heard of Marnie Nixon.
Okay. Have you seen the movie of West Side Story?
I have.
Have you seen the movie of The King and I?
I have.
Have you seen the movie of My Fair Lady?
Oh, yes.
Then you have heard Marnie Nixon sing. She was the voice of Anna, Maria, and who am I missing? Eliza. So she's known for being those voices. She also did amazing cabaret things herself. I believe she was in a show called The Girl in Pink. I'm trying to think. Just recently, I thought she was in a show in a lead role, but I could be wrong. But this is the anniversary of her death. And that, my friends, is Today in Theater History. So what did we learn today? That's it. So let's listen to a little piece of stuff. Piece of stuff? What's that? Let's hear a song from Big River. We'll be right back.
I see the same star.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air. I just faded that song so fast. That was just terrible of me. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air. So we are now going to talk to Summer Stock Austin. We have a group of lovely people here. I introduced them before. I'm going to introduce them again. So Maddie Reese, welcome.
Hi.
Tell me what roles you're playing.
I am playing Rosemary in How to Succeed in Business.
Suddenly there is music in the sound of your name.
Of course.
You're playing Rosemary. And do you have other, are you running the follow spot? Are you doing anything like that?
I am on the front of house crew for Sister Act.
Yes.
So you will see my little face when you walk in that building.
Lovely. Lovely. Sinead, what about you? Oh, but hold on. Your microphone isn't on. All right, try that again.
I am getting to play Jasmine in Haunted.
Ah, I can't sing any of that because that's an original by Alan Robertson.
All new.
Okay, and are you doing any technical duties for any of the other shows?
Yes, I too am front of house for Sister Act. Mm-hmm.
So y'all are you're a team.
Mm-hmm.
Show me your ticket, darn it, like that.
That.
If you don't give me a ticket, you're not getting in. No food or drink in there.
Yes, Sinead and I will be good cop, bad cop.
Yes.
Oh, good. Which one is which? Don't tell me. I want to experience it myself. Holden Fox.
Hi. I'm playing J.B. Bigley and have succeeded in business without really trying.
Oh, what fun role.
On the Sister Act front of house crew.
Really? How odd.
Sister Act is in tech right now, so this would be why.
Okay, so you don't have any, but, you know, you don't have any people sewing or running follow spots or running crew.
They're out there.
Yeah, okay. Well,
they're
amazing.
All sewing, running follow spots.
So, all right, so, busy. So we know that we have good cop and bad cop over here.
A
what
neutral
role
cop.
You're neutral cop.
Yes. Lawful
passive aggressive comp.
Lovely. Katrina Long, you work at the Long Center in the marketing department?
I do, that's correct.
Yeah.
Digital marketing manager. So I'm focusing on how to message these shows and get the word out to everybody.
You're tagging people.
I'm tagging.
You're a tagger.
People, yes.
Back in my day, tagging was not a good thing. Just saying. I'm just saying. And Ronan. Malomo.
Yes, that's me. Hi,
you're here. You have your Long Center badge on.
I do. I'm the education and outreach coordinator at the Long Center, so I'm sort of working right by Ginger Morris's right hand, making sure everything's running smoothly so she can focus on directing her fabulous show.
Lovely. So, Ronan, tell us about Summer Stock Austin. I mean, my audience is relatively familiar because you guys are usually on every year, but tell folks, what is Summer Stock Austin?
Yeah, so we are a nonprofit educational theater organization based on the traditional stock model. And so what that means is we've got three shows running in rep, but why we're educational is most summer stocks use professional actors, whereas we work with very professional high school and college age students. And so what that stock model means is while we're rehearsing one show, we're rehearsing a second, and we're rehearsing a third, and while we're teching the first one, we are also rehearsing the rest of them. And I think we tech, rehearse, and open all three shows in just under 3-4 weeks?
Four weeks.
Yeah,
four
so
weeks.
The first one opened on July 19th, and the last one opened on July 26th. So that's pretty amazing. And I don't think people understand the gravity when you say working in rep, because it's just not done as much as it used to be. When I was first starting out in theater, everybody did summer rep. So you really got an idea of 1 week summer stock. And in those cases, you do a show for a week. While you're doing that show, you're rehearsing another show and you open. But this is actually done in a repertory, which once these shows are all open, which they're not all open yet.
Yeah, the last one opens on Friday.
Because I just said the dates. Yeah. they're sort of weaved around. So you might, on a two-show day, you could see two different shows with the same cast and crew doing different jobs.
As a matter of fact, there are three-show days where you could see all three shows.
Yeah, but crazy. I wasn't talking about those.
It's my job to plug those.
But that's amazing, and that's a great education for younger people coming up in this business, because I think it's one of the things that's vitally important in teaching our young artists is the flexibility and what it takes to be a professional is being able to weave through all these things. So open for any of the three of you, the performers of these shows, what are some of the things that you take away from this experience?
Well, working in rep is definitely challenging, but very rewarding, because you're making a lifelong friends, and you are opening three shows, which is no small feat. I mean, opening one show was no small feat, but three all in rep, rehearsing for only 2 weeks, and then teching for 2 weeks, it's wild. I think it's a very valuable experience that all of us can take home into our professional toolbox and go forth into our careers.
Yeah. Now, Holden, you've done this before.
I have. This is my third year with Summer Stock Austin.
Third year. Yeah. Maddie and
First
Sinead.
Year as a performer, though.
Oh, really? Because you were stage management before.
Yes.
And I will say that when Ronan was talking about the professionalism of the people, I sat in the booth. My background is stage management. And I sat in the booth during a show of 3 years ago, I think. And it's amazing how well seasoned at this very young age these technicians are. So Maddie and Sinead, is this your first year, second year, third year, eighth year?
This is my second year.
Uh-huh.
I was in Adam's Family, I believe, back in 2016.
I was going to say I saw it, but I didn't. I saw a high school production of it. I did not see Summerstock Austin's production.
Yes. So what about, this is my second year.
What about you, Sine?
This is my first year with Summerstock Austin.
Ah, good. Yeah, you're who I want to talk to next. So how have you ever done rep? And by the way, rep is short for repertory. Mm-hmm. For those that are keeping score. I just say that so people think I'm smart. So have you done rep before?
I have never.
So tell us about the experience for you.
Definitely pushing myself to just like artistically and then like physically with like never sleeping, trying to, you know, definitely figuring out like as a performer, what are your boundaries? How much can you give to your art is really, really interesting and mm-hmm. kind of fun. Not yeah. kind of fun, very fun.
It is fun. So for those of you who are veterans, is there anything different about this year than in previous years?
I mean, for me, definitely.
Oh, well, you're performing.
I'm not used to being on stage. It's been 3 or 4 years since
Well, not only are acted. You on stage, but you're singing and dancing.
I know, which is first in a while. Mm-hmm. It's very exciting. I'm glad to be back, but also I forgot how hard it was.
Yeah, it's not easy. Yeah.
Stage managing for the past 3 years, I'm like, yeah, this is great. And then going back to acting, it's like, oh, okay, this is it. This is how you do it again.
And what about you, Maddie?
Well, the last time I did Summerstock Austin, I was going into my senior year of high school. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going into my junior year of college. So,
oh, so you had some time off between.
I did. I think I'd like to think that I've matured a bit
since then. One would make that assumption.
I would hope. So yeah, I definitely, with the first year that I did it, there were a lot of college kids that I really, really looked up to. And it's a little strange now because the college kids now are my age.
So now you are the mentor and no longer the mentee.
Try my best to be a good example.
Well, that is amazing. But now for you two, and by you two, because the radio can't tell who I'm looking at, Katrina and Ronan, Ronan, I know you, this isn't your first year.
This is my first year working at Summerstock, but I was actually one of them
about
4 years ago.
You said that with an air of derision, so I just want to say that.
One of them.
You were one of them, okay. How is this year compared to other years, or how are you finding the experience in general? Don't fight over the microphone, you guys.
This is my fourth season working with Summerstock. And I don't know, we always improve processes, and it's always a nice new crop of talented students, but I also now am getting to see faces that I've recognized from year one when I started working with them. And it's really just so impactful to see everyone working together and people I know and new people and how they've grown. So,
what are the challenges of marketing the shows themselves? Aren't as challenging because they're well known. They're musicals, which typically easier to market.
Right.
But you have no stars involved. You have no. Is it the fact that this is young folks in the beginning of their career doing repertory? Is that a good thing from a marketing perspective, or is that a challenge?
No, it's a great thing. That's a huge story. That's a huge part of it. And marketing Summerstock Austin as an institution is really the story. And then all of these people who are a part of it just help support it all. So the names of the shows might get someone in the door, but then they see the product and they hear the product and they talk to these people. And now they understand and they're going to come back year after year.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. So I am hoping, I'm like very busy, but I really want to get over to see the shows. How to Succeed is one of my favorites. And in my first theater here in Austin, we were going to do a big renovation. That's what we were going to open with, but we never did the renovation. So we didn't open with it. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun to see Holden in there being a groundhog. So that would be really fun. So sounds like a great season. And you always do an original piece by Alan Robertson. This mm-hmm. year it's The Haunted. Is that right?
Haunted, yep. Ghost
so
story.
So tell us about that, and then we'll get some information from you guys.
So Haunted is actually really cool because it deals with very serious things, but in such a different way. And I guess the premise of the story is that two adopted twins, whom I am one of, get dropped off at this camp in the Northeast by their parents. And they sort of hear this like old ghost story about this witch that devours children from the inside out. So they go on an adventure to confront this witch. And then along the way, they realize that what they really have to confront is what's been haunting them for years. So...
That Alan Robertson.
I know, he's a genius.
Don Good. He's also directing this piece.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that is great. So we've said when you open, so things are starting to roll now. And when does the last piece close?
So the last day is August 10th, and that's going to be all three shows happening
on August 10th. Which is what you mentioned before. And where can folks go to get more information?
They can go to summerstockaustin.org or thelungcenter.org.
Great. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Thank you,
thank
Lisa.
Thank you.
That was Katrina Long, Ronan Malomo, Maddie Reese, Sinead Warren, and Holden Fox of Summerstock Austin playing How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, Haunted, A Ghost Story, and Sister Act playing through August 10th at the Long Center on the Rollins stage. For more information, you may visit summerstockaustin.org or thelongcenter.org. We will be right back.
I play it.
Okay, what a great show we had. Before I go, I said I wanted to talk about Audra McDonald, and I need to talk about Audra McDonald. And I don't have the article with me anymore, but you hear me talk on the show a lot about I have a thing like Patti LuPone breaking the fourth wall to yell at somebody about their phone, or you always hear these things where actors are breaking the fourth wall to talk to somebody about their piece. And I always applaud actors that do their job and stay in character, because it really sort of upsets me. I think it's wrong in most cases, not all, but most. And I saw a headline, Audra McDonald, I forgot the word I'm trying to come up with, but it says, gets mad at someone that was texting during a show. And I went, no, not Audra McDonald. I was so disappointed. But when I read, she did it on Twitter after the show, which is fine.
I've read that tweet. Someone was filming the nude scene in her Broadway production.
Yeah, Frank and Johnny DeClaire Laloon. All right, well, that's it for our show. Remember to stick around if you're on the podcast to listen to Backstage Offstage, where we learn more about our guests. You can get us on iTunes, Stitcher, and all those other things. And stand by now if you're on the terrestrial radio for Austin Monitor News. They are next, and we're going to go with the last of our pieces of music from Kinky Boots. This is the History of the Wrong Guys. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
Women have been making bad choices since the beginning of time.
Hi, everybody. It's Lisa. Backstage at Offstage is next, but understand we had an equipment change at the studio, and due to operator error, the sound quality is not the greatest. It's all my fault. But do listen to it. This is most of the people that were with Summerstock Austin, and they have some great stories to tell. They are the upcoming performers and directors coming up in the world, so please give it a listen. Here it is.
Well, the curtain has just come down on I Can't Remember Names, the musical. The story of a young woman who has memory problems, can't even remember her own name when she gets up in the morning, but she sees it through. Anyway, the show's over, and we have left the theater. We're backstage next to the dumpsters. And joining us back here is, hold on, I know your first name is Maddie, but without the glasses, I can't see the rest. We have Maddie Reese.
It's me.
It is. We have Sinead Warren.
Hi.
We have Ronan Malomo.
These dumpsters smell lovely, Lisa.
They do smell lovely. Thank you. I thought I was the only one. And Holden Fox.
Yeah, hi.
All right. I'm going to start, I think, with Holden, because you're stage manager.
I am stage manager.
Okay. So, and clearly you're also a performer, or is this just something to get thrust upon you this year?
I was a performer back in high school, and for the longest time thought I would be a performer forever. And then my senior year of high school, I stage managed a couple shows at a local community theater, and then I got to college, and I was like, well, I can either perform or I can see where stage manager takes me, and I decided to see where stage manager takes me. And it took me lots of great places. I stage managed the past 2 summers at Summerstock, and I found myself missing performing just a little bit, so I auditioned for Summerstock for this year, and got cast, and I'm happy to be back on stage having loads of fun, but I was very nervous at first, very nervous.
Lovely. Well, you're here. So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Marble Falls, Texas.
Okay.
So roughly an hour from Austin.
Oh, we know where it is.
Oh, yeah.
And is that where you went to high school, and that is where you did your community theater work?
Yes, it is.
What theater?
The Hill Country Community Theater.
Oh, we know the Hill Country Community Theater. So wonderful. So now where are you in your life's work? Are you in college now? Are you out of college?
I am still in college. I'm going into my senior year. Woohoo.
You're a rising senior, as we like to say.
Yes.
Are you at the University of Texas?
I am at Texas State.
Texas State, one of the top schools. So what are you studying at Texas State?
Stage management.
Stage management. Is there actually a stage management track, or is it...
There is a track. There's no specific degree.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a technical production major, kind of concentrating in stage management.
Great. Wonderful. We have we love our Texas State people. I have a lot of Texas State people working at Ground Floor Theater. And
we're the best.
Damn good. Although, you know, you have to say that Texas State and St. Ed's, this is an open conversation, by the way. Anybody else wants to just join in, just hop right on in. There's a lot of really good schools here teaching people theater, and Texas State has just done such a wonderful job of being a well-rounded school with their musical theater program, their directing program, their acting program, and now, who knew, stage management program. So you're working with Shannon.
I am working with Shannon.
Mm-hmm. Shannon has been, and I say this on the air a lot, just to give her a hard time, she keeps saying that she wants me to come and speak to her classes. But then she never asked me to.
Yeah, she's forgetful.
Yeah,
but we love her.
I don't take it. I don't take it personally. So where do you? You're in your senior year.
Yes.
Let's role play, shall we? Well, not role play. Let's fantasize, shall we?
Okay.
You've graduated. What
yes.
now?
Ooh. For a while, I thought it would be grad school, and then I decided I'm just sick of education.
Mm-hmm.
So that decided not to be my route. I am thinking of maybe trying to get on a tour. That would be super fun, especially while I'm young and peppy. yeah, I already feel old. My body aches all the time. It's fine. I've also thought about just diving into Chicago or New York, but I'm not entirely sure if they'll weigh out my options.
So your goal is to work professionally in the business?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, I will tell you this, just my opinion, but I think the only reason for a theater person to go to grad school or post or doctoral work is if you want to have a career in academia.
Exactly, which I do not.
Yeah. So, or you need more education. I mean, there's a possibility that you go, I just don't know enough. I left college after 1 year and moved up to New York and was on Broadway in 2 years. So, but now I'm stupid. I'm a person without a degree. So I think if I were to do it over again, I might get a degree, although at the time it seemed like a really good idea. Awesome. I love that you're stage managing, and that's the route I took, and all for it. It's an important thing. Do you want to direct? Because in the Broadway world, that's the next step for stage.
I actually do. I'm very interested in directing, just not sure how to go about getting in there and going that route. But I am very interested in it.
Well, here's what you do: get a Broadway show, a new show. And then that's a big hit, and then you direct all the subsequent productions and tours and things like that, and that gets you in. That's how it starts. Sine, where are you in your life's journey at this point?
I'm a rising freshman.
Mm-hmm.
Headed to Roosevelt University in Chicago.
That's where I moved here from, and my my office is right next to Roosevelt University. And Nicole, who usually sits here, I think also went to Roosevelt. Are you going to study theater there?
Yes, okay. I'll be going to study musical theater.
Lovely, that's exciting. Have you been, well, obviously you've been there before to Chicago.
Yes.
Have you spent any time in Chicago?
No, I went for Chicago Unifieds for 1 week and was like, this is the place for me and I'll live here now.
I love Chicago.
I love
Chicago.
So
where are you going to be living? Are you going to be living in the Roosevelt
mm-hmm.
area?
The Wabash dorms with a nice, pretty floor-to-ceiling windows.
Oh, lovely. That's a great area, and there's a little deli called, I think it's called a 12th Street Deli or 12th Street something. That's if you like, you can get a good matzo ball soup there and a good milkshake there, so it's really good. So, I'm happy for you. And how did you find your love of theater? Where did that come from?
I really... As a child, was like a person who did sort of everything. literally everything. Like, I was the president of every club in middle school.
Okay, you're a born leader. That's good.
And I was sort of like, everyone, when I was a kid, everyone was like, oh, you're so dramatic. Like, our little drama queen. And I, it got to time to pick my classes in the sixth grade, and no one was really paying attention. And because my parents always wanted me to be the person who was like, and now she does a sport and one musical instrument, and nobody was paying attention, and I signed up for 4 theater classes.
Oh my gosh.
And it never stopped. Now
awesome.
I'm here.
And did you grow up in Austin?
I grew up in Round Rock.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm teasing. All you Round Rocky people, don't write me letters. No. Did you go to Round Rock High School?
I went to Cedar Ridge.
That's close enough.
Mm-hmm.
And did you participate, and I guess both of you, in the Greater Austin High, all of you, Greater Austin High School Musical Theater Awards?
Yeah.
Otherwise known as GATSMATO, which I refuse to use it that way.
Yes, I did. Never nominated, but I was in the select ensemble.
Okay, mm-hmm. Lovely. I was an adjudicator for many years. Mm-hmm. Wasn't able to do it last year. Just too darn busy. Well, that's great, and I'm excited for you for school, and you're going to the musical theater program, and so with that, I'm assuming you are going to work on being a triple threat.
Yes, I am.
Which I will say this to all of you that are looking for jobs in the performing arts industry, is how important it is at your age to strive for triple threatness, because if you are going to Chicago or New York as a performer, or any desire to be a performer, and you're not a triple threat, you grossly narrow the things that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
I was a single threat. I speak from complete, whatever the word I'm trying to come up with. Authority! Well, that's awesome. I'm so excited for you. And Chicago is good, and I would encourage you, I don't know whether the school allows it or not, but to seek out. There's a lot of really great theater there. I directed a few things when I was in Chicago. And to go out and explore all that stuff.
Definitely. It's on my list.
Okay, good. Well, I need to see your list before you can leave here. Maddie, what about you?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Maddie. I go to Oklahoma City University.
So hold on, I'm going to stop you right there. So I just heard you call yourself Maddie Reese, and I've been saying Maddie Reese.
It's Reese.
Reese with an S, okay.
Yes.
Okay,
like
go on.
I'm going to be a junior at OCU. In the fall.
Are you in the theater department?
I am.
Oh, lovely. OCU is Oklahoma University?
Yes, Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City University, which is different from OU.
It is different.
Okay.
Yes.
I know that that's some kind of trigger for people in this city. So are you studying theater there?
I am.
Okay.
Yes, I'm a BFA acting major.
Awesome. Are you also doing the music and dance stuff there as well?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And how did you find theater?
Well, I love attention.
Bring that microphone right up to your mouth,
okay.
Please.
My parents were always very, like, they were sport parents. And so they would always sign me up for, like, volleyball camp and softball. And I remember when I was little, I'd always watch, like, kids in movies and in TV shows and sit there and be like, well, I can do that. And I would always ask my dad, I was like, Dad, am I a good actress? And he would be like, well, I don't know, I've never seen you do anything. But they never thought to put me in any, like, camps or anything like that. So I kind of started doing theater off and on when I was around 9.
Mm-hmm.
And I started really getting into it my freshman year of high school.
And where are you also from here?
I am. I went to Lake Travis High School.
Okay, Lake Travis, which is why you know all about TexArts, because it's out in Lake Travis.
it's about 5 minutes away from my house.
That's nice, because it's about 45 minutes away from everybody else.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like they invite me standing. I would love to see it, because I, embarrassing to say, have never seen a live production of Annie in my life.
Yeah.
I know, it's crazy. I did, though, and I've told the people on this show, in 1977, I was in Galveston doing a show there, and I had one cassette tape,
mm-hmm.
and it was Annie, and I listened to it ad nauseum, so I know all the music from the show quite well. So, Ronan, you're now like an office-y person. You're a producer.
Yeah.
I want to be a producer at the Long Center Rollins Stage.
Basically.
Okay, that's it. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
So you were slash are a performer still?
Yeah, I'm absolutely still a performer. Mm-hmm. I graduated from NYU about a year ago.
NYU, what is it about you? Sorry, that's a song for everything. So you went to NYU?
Mm-hmm.
Tisch School? Or
yes,
okay, Tisch. Awesome.
Yeah, as an actor, and I do still act around town, but I, as I'm sure most people know, acting cannot be a full-time job in this country until you're in very specific places.
Correct.
So I've been blessed with the opportunity to have a full-time position
mm-hmm.
in the arts and working very closely with them. So
great. So you were in NYU, and mm-hmm. after NYU you came back to Austin.
Yeah, I came pretty much right back to Austin.
Why didn't you stay in New York?
I don't like New York.
What? You're out of your mind.
No, I don't.
No, you're so wrong about that.
I don't like living there. I don't
like it.
It's smelly and it's loud and there's no trees.
More smell. That see now that is not true. Have you ever been to Central Park? There's no
I was so busy. I never went to Central Park.
Well, that's different. So you. Well, I'm sorry to hear that you didn't have a good living experience in New York City.
But I love the city.
Well, New York is home for me, so
okay.
I'm biased towards New York. You grew up in Austin?
Yes, I grew up about a minute down the road from where we are right now.
Okay, and what high school did you go to?
LBJ Lhasa.
LBJ Lhasa. So were you in Lhasa or LBJ? Because very different schools.
Very different.
Unfortunately. I have a whole opinion about that, but we can talk about
yes.
that later. So you're in the did theater at Lhasa?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was there all 4 years.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Did you participate in the Greater Austin High School Musical Theater Awards, or would you predate that?
I was nominated for lead actor in the first ever my senior year.
Oh, la la la! For what show?
I was the Cat in the Hat in Seussical.
Okay.
Oh, you were that guy.
I was that guy.
I did not see that because I did not start with. Greater Austin High School Musical Theater Awards until the next year.
Okay, you didn't miss me doing much.
Cat in the Hat is a fun show, and it's a good high school show, I have to say.
It's like a
Ronin
trivia.
I know, they just see me as an authority figure all day, and now they're learning things about me.
Yeah, what other embarrassing things can you share with us now that you're the actors in your show can...
Oh my god, I mean, not a lot of things that I want to put on the air.
I got it.
Well,
here's the deal, and I'm not going to talk about it because I talked about it last week, but it's, for some reason this has been coming up a lot, and I had somebody sit in here and they were saying how they didn't want to go to New York because of the lack of trees. I'm not going to say the story again, but that's how I thought when I remember crying thinking I'm never going to see a tree again when I moved to New York City. But guess what? There are places in New York, there's places in Central Park where you get lost in the woods.
Absolutely.
You go up to Fort Tryon Park, you go up to the Cloisters, you get lost in the woods. There are even places along the West Side Highway, and there's woods, and you can get lost in the woods. In every single pocket park. And you go down to Gramercy Park, and these are street lines that are covered with a canopy of trees. In the city, it's beautiful. I think there's a lot of greenery in New York City. So there.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's my fast answer. And also, I have a much longer answer of believing that art should be spread more throughout the country in a more even split rather than being sort of focused in cities.
Sure.
And I wanted to come back and bring what I've learned in New York to Austin and help the Austin theater community.
Well, great. I love that answer because this is something I talk about a lot and about the fact that not many people in this city know that theater exists here. And there's theaters like my theater, Ground Floor Theater, but there's the Vortex, the Rude Mex,
mm-hmm.
City Theater. There's loads of theater doing really sort of groundbreaking work that you would see in New York off Broadway or even further downtown or in the boroughs. That's where the interesting work is going, and those are really fun to go see. And if you happen to get in on the ground floor of one of these shows that moves somewhere, it's exciting. You can say, I remember when that played at Ground Floor Theater in Austin, Texas, and there it is at the Lunt Fontanne in New York right now, making millions of dollars. Damn, why didn't I take that job? That's good. So did you see a lot of shows when you were there?
I saw a decent amount of shows.
Has everybody seen a Broadway show here?
Yes.
I have.
Well, okay, and we're going to go through and say what your very first Broadway show was in New York City.
I think it was sadly Phantom.
Sadly. Thank you for saying sadly, I agree.
I mean, first I was about six and it was The Lion King.
Yeah, but you know what? I saw Lion King when it first opened and I was blown away. That was the first Disney project. And they did such a good job, and they did some really creative work without a lot of the crazy technical stuff that shows like Phantom rely upon. I'm sorry, I think that's a great first show.
No, it was wonderful.
Awesome show.
I was a late bloomer. I didn't see my first Broadway show until last summer.
Okay, what'd you see?
And it was the revival of Once on this Island.
Oh, I wanted to see that so bad at Circle in the Square.
Mm-hmm. Started crying before the first number. Oh. And stopped crying until after the show.
It was amazing. And sadly, the only thing I saw of that show was their performance on the Tonys, but mm-hmm. I also saw the performance at Macy's, which was not all that great.
Yeah, I remember watching it and being like, oh, God. But then getting to see the show and blown away.
And that and Circle in the Square is such a great theater mm-hmm. to see because it's so intimate. It's a big theater, but it's intimate. Mm-hmm. And I just love it. All right, Maddie, what was your first Broadway show?
My first Broadway show was Mary Poppins. Ooh. And I believe it was 2007.
Okay. And it had been open for a while by then, right? I don't know.
Maybe.
I have a story for everything. I was sorely disappointed because I'm a big Mary Poppins movie fan, mm-hmm. big Mary Poppins movie fan. And when I went to see the show in New York with the original cast, I was very disappointed on a lot of levels. And I actually liked the production that came through the first tour that stopped here. I liked that production a lot better. And now I'm liking Mary Poppins a lot more than I did on the very first one. Don't get me started about the sequel to the movie. Just don't do it. Because I know you all want to know, my first Broadway show was Fiddler on the Roof in 1969 with Herschel Bernardi. I was 11 years old, and I really... That's probably... Well, no, I was already involved in theater at that point, but I remember seeing the little girls at the end, and I'm going... Do that. But I also convinced, I came home telling everybody, so it was a big set on a turntable, so mm-hmm. it had the inside of the house and the outside of the house on opposite sides of the turntable, and I came back telling everybody that they built the theaters for the shows. So I was convinced that the Imperial Theater was built for Fiddler on the Roof, but it wasn't. So, well, that's great. Thank you guys so much for joining us backstage. I was really happy to learn a little bit about you.
Of course.
And I'm excited when I've got people that are at the beginnings of the career, and it seems like all of you are headed for a career in theater, and I wish you all good fortune. I'm not going to say good luck, because it's not about luck. It's about perseverance and being there at the right time, and a little bit of luck. Be a triple threat. Learn everything else. I will tell you to learn stage management, learn wardrobe, learn how to build a flat. These things are all very important and will help you in your careers as an actor. And if you're like me, I came up to New York as an actor and couldn't get an equity card and switched to stage management and got an equity card and was on Broadway pretty quickly. So that says a lot about my acting talent. I will say here on this, because I'm not on the air, I can talk about this. Ground Floor Theater is opening Transom. It's a devised piece about trans community. Ground Floor Theater, we open August 15th. I am a co-director and... I don't believe this is a good thing, but I'm also in the show. So come out. Tickets are available right now at groundfloortheater.org. Don't forget to go get tickets and see Summerstock Austin. It's really an incredible experience. If you've never seen it, these guys are pretty amazing at what they do. And that's it. So there's some music playing behind us right now. What is it?
It's Mary Poppins Returns.
It is Mary Poppins Returns.
Oh, how dare you.
Stop the nonsense. Could be fun.
All right, guys. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.